Matt Moscona.
I'm very important.
After further review.
Say one more time.
After further review with Matt Moscona.
And here we go.
104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge. And now 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Hour three, off we go. Welcome aboard. Glad you're with us. It's AFR. I'm Matt James Harrelson back in studio, holding it down for Carly, who's down in New Orleans for the CST game of the week. It's Carr and Easton tonight on CST, but we're thrilled to have Chesting hanging out with us for the final couple hours of the show here. We've already given away one pair of tickets for the Adam Sandler Show coming up on December the 8th. I'll tell you right now, it's 5:30, bottom of the hour, you'll have a chance to win another pair. So stay tuned. We'll tell you how at the bottom of the hour you can win a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler, David Spade, Rob Schneider at Lakefront Arena on December the 8th. Somebody's winning them. It might be you, but you'll find out how at 5:30. All right, if you want to join us, you can, 499-1045, 499-1045, or toll-free 844-568-MATT, 844-568-6288. Joe Lisi in 15 minutes will preview some of the biggest college games across the football landscape in about 15 minutes from right now with Joe Lisi. Something that I said at the onset of the show and we'll do here in the 5 o'clock hour as well, most notably in this segment, is Free Speech Friday. I'm totally just pillaging this from a good friend, Matt Kennedy, who longtime Baton Rouge radio guy. Something that he used to do on his Friday show, and I'm just absolutely stealing it. I have things I want to talk about, very structured. If there's something I'm not talking about or haven't talked about this week that you want to talk about, let's do it. 499-1045 or toll-free 844-568-MATT, 844-568-6288. Saints, Seahawks, Sunday at the Dome. I'll give you a pick before we get out of here, but I found this very interesting. At ESPN.com, they always have their NFL Nation writers for every game in the NFL do a pick, like a paragraph write-up and a score prediction. So for the Saints and the Seahawks, you had, I believe it's Shile Kapadia is the Seahawks writer. I believe I'm pronouncing it right. I may very well be wrong, and if I am, forgive me. But Shile's write-up says, in essence, this is a game that matches strength for strength. The Saints offense against the Seahawks defense. It should be close, but New Orleans pulls the upset 24-20. Enter Mike Triplett. Mike writes, no offense is lighting it up like the Saints have at home this year, 36 points a game. The Seahawks defense, worn out from last week's overtime slugfest against Arizona, but allowing just 14 points per game. Mike Triplett picks Seattle, 27-23. So both have it a four-point game. The Seahawks beat writer picking the Saints by four. The Saints beat writer picking the Seahawks by four. This is how the game went, if you recall, in the opener against Oakland. You had the Oakland media thinking the Saints were going to win at home. You had the Saints media thinking, boy, that Oakland team with that defense and the young quarterback and Amari Cooper are going to win a close one. And the way it played out was Jack Del Rio made a gutsy call, went for two, got it, and Oakland wound up stealing a road game. Seattle has played three road games so far this year with mixed results. They lost at the Rams in a field goal game, 9-3. They went to the Jets cross-country and won another low-scoring game, 27-17. Then they went to Arizona on Sunday night, of course, and that game ended in the 6-6 tie. So Seattle, away from home this year, is 1-1-1. And two of their games have been just field goal games. I know people are going to talk about the Saints' defense, and you should, but the Saints' defense isn't going to be better. They're not. Even when they get Delvin Bro back, even when they get Sheldon Rankins back, those guys will improve in spots, but that is not going to make this defense wholesale changes or make it that much better. this is still going to be the worst defense in the NFL, even when they get Delvin Bro and Sheldon Rankins back. So, yes, Seattle is going to move the ball, and Seattle is going to score more than they did against the Rams and more than they did against Arizona, and they'll probably score something along the lines of what they did against the Jets in that 27-33 type range, somewhere within a score of that. So the question is, can New Orleans do at home what they've done all season at home? And that's average better than 35 points a game. And I don't know if they can. I don't know if they will. I'll be very interested to see if Teron Armstead plays. He practiced yesterday. My feeling is that they won't, because Seattle does what the Saints have struggled with. Teams that are physical at the point of attack at the line of scrimmage have made the Saints, even though the Saints do this largely on their own, but a one-dimensional offense where they throw it 50 times a game, and when you throw it 50 times a game, a couple of those are going to go to the wrong team. And when that happens and you give a team like the Seahawks that isn't going to be a team that consistently drives the length of the field, when you give that team a short field, that's how you give them quick scores and you ultimately lose a game by a possession. It's what happened last week against Kansas City. Seattle is built defensively like teams like Houston, like Baltimore, those teams that are very physical up front at the point of attack. That's what Seattle is defensively. Those are the types of teams that New Orleans traditionally, in this era, the Breeze Peyton era anyway, have not done well traditionally against. So I'll give you a pick before the hour's over, but I think you're going to see that game that probably ends up somewhere in the upper 20s, low 30s, and the question is going to be simply if New Orleans can make a play. All right, if you want to join us, you know how. 499-1045 and toll-free 844-568. Matt, 844-568-6288. I'm looking in the huddle. Chris picking the Saints 27-19. Do you really honestly, put down your fandom, whatever it may be. Take a step back as objectively as you can possibly look at this. As bad as the Saints defense has been, 3 years in a row, last or second to last in the NFL, total and scoring defense. This dreadful defense that can't stop anybody from scoring. You think that defense is going to hold Seattle to 19 points? Hey, they went to the Giants, now the Giants are 60. Yes, they did. And Eli Manning threw for 350 in that game. The difference was three times in the first half, the Saints forced turnovers. It's an old adage in football, but it's true. Turnovers are the great equalizer, and they are, and that proves it. In that game, the Giants racked up 500 yards of offense. Eli threw for 368. But they kept turning it over. Now, if you're going to tell me the Saints are going to go force three turnovers again in the first half, yeah, it'll be a low-scoring game. But my opinion of that is it's the exception, not the rule. But doesn't it just feel like there is going to be a game, and this happens in the NFL, it always does, there's going to be that game that the Saints are not supposed to win, that they sneak up and beat a team. Well, and likewise, they're going to lose games they're not supposed to lose. That happens every year also. And last year at home against Tennessee, which was a miserable football team, and you got whacked. Delanie Walker still running for touchdowns in that game. They're going to lose a game they're supposed to win, and the reverse is going to happen. They're going to surprise you and beat a team they're not supposed to beat, and it's going to give you this false hope like maybe they'll turn it around. But the truth is, this defense isn't going to get markedly better. The question is, can they go score 35 in this game, 30-35, to pull off an upset? We'll see. I'd love to think they can, but this would be a great test. All right, jimsfirearms.net phone lines are open at 499-1045 if you want to join us. Hey, I got to thank Garrett Temple, former LSU basketball star, of course, who's now with Sacramento. His business partner, Chad, just dropped in here and handed me a gift card to Lux Nail Bar. It's over there at the Mall of Louisiana. And I'm fired up, man. I'm going to give this to my wife and let her go treat herself. This is fine. The gift card is like metal. It's like, normally, it's not like a plastic gift card. I'll show Facebook Live. It's a metal gift card. That's pretty fantastic. You heard that. I just dropped it. So, Anyway, my wife will go get her nails done. I appreciate that. Y'all go check out Lux, man. It's Garrett Temple's place. It's over there on the boulevard at the Mall of Louisiana. Awesome stuff. Appreciate them sincerely. We're at Pluckers on Bluebonnet. You got World Series Game 3 tonight. You got, like you need a reason to come here. But World Series Game 3 is tonight. If you're heading out to a high school game before or after, both Pluckers locations open till midnight or later every night of the week. Tomorrow, all of your college action. And then, of course, Sunday, if you need a place to watch all the NFL games, you can do it right here at Pluckers. Nicholson just south of campus and Bluebonnet right in front of the Mall of Louisiana. We'll grab a quick break. Come back from Pluckers at the bottom of the hour. Your chance to win Adam Sandler tickets. When we come back next, though, Joe Lisi will join us. GoForThe2.com. We'll preview some of the top college football games in the country next.
After further review with Matt Moscona, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge, 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Tigers don't play this weekend, but it is still a massive weekend in college football with several playoff contenders tested on the road. Who else would we go to preview the weekend other than our friend Joe Lisi? GoForThe2.com. He's on Twitter at GoForThe2. James, do me a favor if you would. Help me out with the button. Joe, thanks for the time, man. How are you, bud?
Oh, always a pleasure, Matt. Love the show. Anytime.
Dude, we appreciate you. Let's just not waste any time and jump right into the big one of the weekend with Clemson going down to Tallahassee. It'll be a prime time game that everybody's really looking forward to. Joe, I look and I just wonder, man, can Florida State's defense hold up? What do you think the week off did for Florida State defensively to prepare for the matchup?
Well, since 2011, they've won three of the last five by 18 points per game. And over the last three games, Matt, Florida State's rush defense has played very well, only giving up 87 rushing yards per game. But I really think this game comes down to Clemson's defense. I mean, they are rock solid on the defensive front seven, giving up 132 rushing yards on the ground and in the back end only allowing 166 passing yards per game. But more importantly, holding opposing quarterbacks to 50% completion percentage. They have 11 interceptions already and have only allowed four passing touchdowns all season long. And their third down defense, they're only giving up 28% on third down situations. When you could force three and outs and give the football back to Deshaun Watson, I think this is going to be a blowout. I really do. I think Clemson dominates this matchup. Renfro comes back. And look for Deshaun Watson to utilize his legs. He only has one rushing touchdown picked up 2 weeks ago against NC State. But I look for Deshaun Watson to put a lot of pressure on the perimeter of Florida State's defense. And I look for Clemson to win this ballgame by about 17 points.
Wow. That would be devastating in Tallahassee. And that would certainly keep order in the college football playoff race in any event. A big weekend in the Big Ten with a triple header on ESPN. The one that I think everybody initially is going to point to is the obvious one with undefeated Nebraska visiting number 11 Wisconsin. Really a must-win for the Badgers, Joe. Do you think they hold serve at home?
Well, they've dominated the series since 2011. They've won four of the last five by 26 points per game. But I think you look at Nebraska's defense, they are rock solid in run support, only giving up 124 yards on the ground. And in the secondary this year, they're giving up 218 passing yards per game. But last year, they allowed 294 yards through the air. They were atrocious in terms of pass coverage, and they're much better now. And they're opportunistic, plus five in turnover margin. But I look at the offense and quarterback Tommy Armstrong, what he's done in that offensive scheme this year. They're rushing for over 200, passing for over 200. Last year, Armstrong only rushed for 400 yards on the ground with seven total touchdowns rushing. Entering this battle, he's already got 380 rushing yards and six touchdowns. I think that's the difference. I think his legs will put a lot of pressure on Wisconsin's defense, and I think Nebraska's defense is a lot better than people think. I think they get the upset in Camp Randall this weekend. I think it'll be high scoring, but the Cornhuskers move on to Columbus next weekend undefeated.
If that happens, and Joe Lisi's with us, GoForThe2.com. He's on Twitter at GoForThe2, the numeral 2. If that happens, that obviously puts even more emphasis on Michigan to continue rolling. Joe, I'm surprised by the number. I think everybody is at least a little surprised to see it at 25, even though Michigan State has lost five in a row. It's still a rivalry game, and it's in East Lansing. I mean, I hesitate to even ask the odds of an upset here, Joe, but stranger things have happened. Do you think Michigan just continues their role and Michigan State continues their slide?
Well, I think Michigan wins the ball game, Matt, but we know this. It's a rivalry game. You throw the records out the window. If Michigan State is going to rebound in any game, it's make sure that Mark D'Antonio and the crew will be up for this ball game. I think the one thing when you look at Michigan State overall, they're negative in turnover margin, minus four entering this ball game. You look at the Mark D'Antonio coach teams over the last few years, they've been at the top of turnover margin in terms of FBS, plus 14, plus 13, plus 16 2 years ago. I mean, so they're not creating turnovers. And then I look at the flip side with Michigan. They're only allowing about 111 passing yards through the air to opposing offenses. And their third down defense, I mean, is phenomenal. They're allowing around 11% conversions on third down. So I think Michigan wins this ball game. I think Michigan State could keep it close early. But odds of an upset, I just don't see it happening. But I do think Michigan State could keep it within the 25 points because it is a rivalry game.
And Michigan State has been great as an underdog under Mark D'Antonio. We'll see. We'll get to some SEC games at the end of the segment, Joe. But there are two really impactful games, road games, for undefeated teams in the Big 12. And for obvious reasons, that matters, because presumably if there were an undefeated Big 12 champion, that team would steal a spot in the college football playoff like Oklahoma did last year. What about Baylor going on the road to Texas? We know all of the storylines surrounding Charlie Strong and how bad that Texas defense has been. But truthfully, Baylor hasn't had a real test yet. Is this the one?
It can be, but again, you look at that Texas defense overall. They're giving up 32 points per game. They're giving up 263 passing yards per game. And you look at that matchup last week in Manhattan, they made Jesse Ertz look like Michael Vick. I can't put my eggs in Texas's defense overall. I mean, it's an inconsistent team. Flip a coin. Which Texas is going to show up? Is it the Texas week number one against Notre Dame, or is it the Texas defense that lost on the road in Berkeley and lost last week on the road to a K-State offense that was only averaging 300 total yards per game? I mean, I look at Seth Russell. I look at the offensive weapons by Baylor. I know they haven't played anybody, but they still have a lot more to play for than Texas at this point in the season. So I back Baylor in this matchup. I think they have the better offense and more complete team playing better football at this point in the season.
Joe, the other one in the Big 12 involving an undefeated team is West Virginia. Resurgent Dana Holgorsen there. They go on the road to Boone Pickens Stadium against Oklahoma State. This one feels very much, to me anyway, like a coin flip. Does it to you?
It does, but I still give the slight edge, in my opinion, to Oklahoma State with quarterback Mason Rudolph and his big play wide receivers of James Washington and Jalen McCleskey, J.J. McCleskey's son from Tennessee. I mean, they are a dynamic duo. I think they could attack West Virginia's defensive secondary over the top. West Virginia allowing about 233 passing yards per game. Stillwater, a very difficult place to play in. Remember, West Virginia won this ball game 2 years ago. They went into Stillwater and dominated that matchup. Holgorsen was an assistant under Gundy. I just see Mike Gundy and the Cowboys striking the mild upset at home. I think it's a very difficult place to play, and I'm not sold on West Virginia's being the elite team that everybody thinks they are at this point in the season.
This is about the time when the pretenders start to get weeded out. Maybe we'll see one in Stillwater tomorrow. A couple of really intriguing SEC games, and we're chatting with Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. He's on Twitter, at GoForTheTwo. A couple of intriguing SEC games. Auburn trying to work its way back into the playoff mix. They're undefeated right now they control their destiny, I should say, in SEC play. But a tricky road game at Ole Miss. Is Ole Miss just too wounded at this point to put up a legitimate fight against an Auburn team that's rolling?
Yeah, you mentioned Auburn rolling. Since week two, they're averaging 338 rushing yards on the ground. On the flip side, Ole Miss is allowing 238 rushing yards on the ground. And I did a statistic. Chad Kelly, over the last four games, has only thrown three passing touchdowns and 4 interceptions. I'm not standing in the way of the Gus Bus with that rush for over 500 yards offense against Arkansas on the ground last week. I just think Ole Miss, to me, looks battered. They look worn out. And even though the game is in Oxford, I think Auburn looks like the fresher team at this point in the season.
Joe, I got someone that just asked in the huddle that's on our station app. It said, I swear it sounds like Joe knows all of these freaking stats off the top of his head. Please ask him, Matt. That would be insane. Are you looking at like a screen with all of this, or do you just remember all of this?
No, I do the stats myself. All the big games, I have the stats. This is what I do, and no notes. Sometimes when I do my show on Saturday mornings, I have notes, but no notes currently.
His show on Saturdays on Yahoo Sports Radio, coast to coast. He's Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. Georgia, Florida, the cocktail party. Nobody anywhere at all is talking about Florida, yet they're leading the SEC East. Is this where they take their first conference loss? Or second conference loss, I should say.
No, not at all. Not in my opinion. I mean, Georgia, to me, has major offensive concerns. Third downs are an issue. They're only averaging about 39% on third down conversions. Jacob Eason in a big spot I'm not sold on. And you look at this Florida defense. I mean, again, the secondary of Jalen Tabor going up against Georgia's wide receivers, to me, are what the matchup is. And you look at this matchup last year, Florida dominated inside the trenches. I just think they're a much better team, offense and defense aligns to me, and I think Florida dominates this game. I don't see Georgia being in this game, even though it's a rivalry. I think Florida is the most complete team in the East, and I think they dominate by about 17 to 20 points on Saturday.
Calling for upsets, Nebraska going on the road, and Oklahoma State taking care of business at home against an undefeated West Virginia team. We will see how it all plays out starting tomorrow. You can follow his work, Go for the Two. That's the numeral two, GoForTheTwo.com, and he's on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. Joe Lisi, we appreciate the visit as always, man. Enjoy your football weekend.
Oh, anytime, Matt. Can't wait for next week. Alabama LSU doesn't get better than that.
You know we will be talking about it then. Thank you, bro. Back here from Pluckers on Blue Bonnet Friday edition, a football Friday. No LSU tomorrow. Of course, they have the week off before Bama. Saints will play the Seahawks on Sunday. I'll give you a pick before we get out of here and do best person in sports. Saints, though, defensively on the verge of a major hall of shame. If the Saints, and this is from the Elias Sports Bureau, if the Saints allow 25 points on Sunday, it will mark nine straight times they've allowed 25 points or more at home. That would be an NFL record. If they allow 35 or more, that'll be the fourth time they've done it in 4 home games this year, which would also be an NFL record. I understand why Saints fans are excited about getting Sheldon Rankins back, excited about getting Delvin Bro back, but people, we are talking about literally an historically bad defense. Delvin Bro might make them better, but they are still going to be awful. Like, you might go from, like, I was going to give a poop analogy, but I'm not going to. I seemingly always give poop analogies. You might go from, like, loose runny stool to just, like, regular diarrhea. Bad. That was gross, wasn't it? Tony, the Brit is looking at me like, you filthy American. That was bad? James, was that terrible?
You know what? I've been in radio for about 7 years. I don't think that I've ever been a part of a diarrhea example. So that was
analogy,
the first for me.
Okay, so what would be... We could go from, like, how about the Saints' defense right now is a migraine, and they're going to go from... If they get Bro and Rankins back, they go from a migraine to, like, a menstrual headache.
I think that's a little bit more rated G.
Maybe. It will take more than Advil to cure, I know that.
It'll take more than Advil to cure?
Oh, yeah.
We need a translator for you sometimes. This is, if you're just joining us, Tony Lightfoot. He's our on-site engineer for our Facebook Live. He's got multiple cameras going, graphics, all the good stuff. On Facebook, check out the 104.5 Baton Rouge, ESPN Baton Rouge Facebook page, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Facebook page, and you'll see the link right there. You can watch us on-site. And you can see the cheeky Brit with his Cubs hat that he took. He's still wearing. He's a fake Cubs fan.
This is your hat. I remember.
It's not my hat. It's Terrio's hat that he let me wear last week when we acted like morons dressed up in Cub uniforms.
Okay.
Are you watching the World Series?
Yeah, of course I am.
Who are you pulling for?
Oh, I'm pulling for the Cubs.
See, you're a Homer Cubs fan. That's my point.
Look, I'm
you're
I'm
a
not,
fake Cubs. You're from Britain.
Look, I'm not a generation.
Where are you from again?
Colchester.
Colchester, which is near Lutcher. I mean, you're the guy. Yeah, and you're sitting here cheering for the Cubs. James, who are you cheering for?
Look, hang on a second.
Hold on. James, who are you cheering for, James?
Yeah, I'm going to go Cleveland.
Oh, he's going for Cleveland.
I am riding the Cleveland wave, baby. You got the Cavaliers. Indians are next.
He's drinking too much of the Drew Carey Kool-Aid.
This is a river that catches on fire. Okay. I really don't care. I would like to see history. I think it'd be very nice. It'd be a great sports story if the Chicago Cubs were to win the World Series. But I will never label myself as a Cubs fan. I'm not openly rooting for them. I think it would be great theater, and it would be great for our business if the Cubs won the World Series. Hmm. Actually, it would be great as if it went to a Game 7 and they lost again. That would be better for my business. Okay, James, I'll turn it over to you if you have goofy game show music and you want to cue it up, and if you want to try to give away some Adam Sandler tickets for the Here Comes the Funny Tour, which is December the 8th at Lakefront Arena. We've been giving away tickets all week. You can pick up yours at Ticketmaster.com. But we've given away 3 pair already, and here is your final chance, and James Harrison will tell you how. Go ahead, Jimmy.
All right, our first caller up in the hot seat, Wade from Prairieville. How you doing, Wade?
Doing good, James.
All right, Wade, so here we go. All right, you got to get 3 Adam Sandler questions, or they could be Rob Schneider questions, or they can be David Spade questions, but you have to get 3 of these questions right to win the tickets. And if not, we're moving down the list to the next listener. Does that work?
That works for me.
All right, so here we go. First question. In the Adam Sandler film, The Wedding Singer, which actress played the role of the young woman named Julia?
That would be Drew Barrymore.
James said woman. James, I've missed hearing you say woman. I have missed hearing you say woman.
Don't get into that again. I still can't hear it.
Wait, say it again.
It's woman. Yeah, it's a woman.
My boy says woman.
I just
it's a long O.
You guys are making I can't hear it. Anyway. All right. Let's get the game show back on track here. All right.
Okay.
What is the name of Adam Sandler's character in the film Mr. Deeds?
Ooh.
Longfellow D.
Hey, Wade is on a roll. Wade is going to win. James, all week it's taken us like 7, 8, 9 people to get winners. Wade is on the verge of being a one and done, man.
Yep.
He's Ben Simmons. He's about to bounce after a year.
Here we go. Third and final question, Wade. In the Adam Sandler film, The Waterboy, Coach Klein is the head coach of SCLSU. What does SCLSU stand for?
Oh, God. South Central Louisiana State University.
How about that?
Congratulations, Wade. Clean sweep. 3 for 3.
Wade made it a one and done. Like, were those questions just that easy, Wade? Or are you just like, wait, how old are you?
39.
So you're in the Sandler demo. Like, you are,
absolutely.
You've seen all those movies, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, I mean, you've seen them all, right?
Seen them all many, many times.
Yeah, that's what it takes. There were times this week where we'd have guys that are, you know, like 21, 22 calling, where it's like, some of those movies are as old as that. Like, when did Billy Madison come out? Was that like 94,
yeah,
95?
Yeah, 94, 95.
So, I mean, it's, yep. Some of those guys were literally... were born when those movies came out. Anyway, Wade, congrats to you, man. You're going on 95. Tony just looked up 95. So, Wade, you're going December the 8th. Who are you going to take?
Probably my wife.
Does she have a choice?
Well, she does, but she doesn't know it yet.
Or Wade, do you have a choice?
I might not have a choice.
That's probably a better way to ask it. Wade, we appreciate you for listening. Hey, wait, I got to do this. Tell us what station just made you a winner.
104.5, 104.9 ESPN Radio.
We appreciate it, Wade. Sit tight. James is going to get some info for you. Wade wins the Adam Sandler tickets. Again, the show is the Here Comes the Funny Tour. It's Adam Sandler, David Spade, Rob Schneider, all at UNO Lakefront Arena, along with Nick Swartzen as well, all at Lakefront Arena, SNL alums, and it's be a night of one-liners. Tickets on sale at Lakefront Arena box office and online at Ticketmaster.com. Again, that's December the 8th. Wade is going, and we appreciate all of our listeners, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, 499-1045 is how you can join us, toll-free 844-568. Matt, we're brought to you by Relief Windows. I'm coming back to the phones in just a second. Let me remind you about Relief Windows and ReliefWindows.com. Experience, quality, service, that's Relief Windows and ReliefWindows.com. You can check out their work online. And they offer, of course, beautiful energy-efficient replacement windows, beautiful entry doors that are all-weather that come with a lifetime warranty. You can literally take these doors, throw them in a lake for 20 years, and then take them out and put them back on the hinges. They'll be fine. They will not warp. So many flood victims actually had their doors spared because Relief Windows uses a higher quality material. Learn more, ReliefWindows.com. They also have beautiful accent options as well. For example, Eric and I we're just moved actually today, bought a new home, and one of the windows in the master bathroom, it's actually at the front of the house. It's a shutter on the other side, the shutter on the front of the house, and the people that owned the house previously just put a decorative curtain. Well, Erica didn't want that, so I went over and I talked to Brandon. I said, "What are our options?" He showed me a half dozen options of decorative window styles that we could do to put there, and so we picked one that's like, it looks like rain or rain drops, water falling on the window, so it's opaque. You can't see through it, but it's decorative. Point is, they got something for everything, y'all. ReliefWindows.com, experience, quality, and service, ReliefWindows.com, or call them 288-8138, 288-8138. All right, let's grab a few phone calls. We'll wrap up with best person in sports here in a few minutes. Adam is in Denham. Hey, Adam, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, bud? I wanted to see if you think that since the Saints are in the middle of a rebuilding stage, or I hope so, at least with the defensive side, do you think that in the time that Drew Brees has left with the Saints, like how much juice he has left in the tank, do you think we will be able to build a decent enough defense to maybe have a winning season or maybe even be a playoff team before we lose Drew?
Adam, I think if I'm being realistic, I think what could happen if Drew Brees plays three more seasons, I think you have a chance to have a 40-year-old Drew Brees, much like Peyton Manning was in Denver a year ago, to where he's playing still at a high enough level. And I grant you, Peyton dealt with injuries, and by the end of the year, he was a shell of what he was and was really not effective, and they leaned on that defense. But I think you could have a 40-year-old Drew Brees who's efficient within that offense that can still run it effectively if you see development from if Cam Jordan continues progressing on his career as it is now, Delvin Bro as well, if you have a dynamic safety tandem of Kenny Vaccaro and Von Bell, if by some miracle you end up striking with Stephon Anthony what he had as a rookie on the inside and you put him back there, if Haole Kikaha develops into an elite pass rusher, if Sheldon Rankins becomes the next Aaron Donald. But understand, these are so many ifs. And for the last half decade, all of those ifs have turned into no's with the New Orleans Saints. They haven't drafted well. They haven't spent well in free agency. I do think if this young talent continues developing, and as some of that dead money comes off the books, they'll have more money to spend in free agency. But considering their misses, it's hard for me to believe that in the next three seasons that defense will go from literally the worst ever, like literally the worst ever as far as yardage and points allowed. Last year, they allowed more passing touchdowns than any in the history of the NFL. Right now, they're on the verge. If the Saints allow 25 points or more on Sunday, that'll be 9 straight times at home. That's never happened in the history of the NFL. This is an historically bad defense. Can they go from historically bad to good enough to support a 40-year-old quarterback? I don't think so, no. So my answer, a very long way of answering your simple question is no, I don't think they can. The only way it's possible is if they somehow flip the script on their draft picks, which have been horribly inept. The Stanley Jean Baptiste, the Kyrie Forts, the guys that you've used high draft picks on that have bombed and busted, if you start hitting on Sheldon Rankins and Von Bell, and if Haoli Kikaha comes back from a knee injury and becomes an elite pass rusher, if David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins become basically Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers, then sure. But I just have no reason to believe, other than blind faith, hope, that it will. It's after further review. Got to grab a quick break, final break of the show. We'll come back again. You can join us on Facebook Live. We appreciate our cheeky fellow, Tony Lightfoot, for taking care of business and engineering on site here for Facebook Live. If you haven't seen this Facebook Live setup, it's awesome. We got two different cameras here, graphics, swipes and swoops. It's like a TV show. It's like you're watching a TV show on Facebook Live. So join us there as well. We'll wrap up next with Best Person in Sports, and I'll give you a pick on the Saints and the Seahawks. Stay there.
AFR.
Hey, if you need dinner plans tonight, Ichiban is always a great option. As a matter of fact, there's a guy named Colin and his wife, Allie. We were just here a minute ago. And absolutely true story. They had two darling little daughters. And she came up to me and said, I want to thank you because you are the reason that I get to eat sushi now. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, we went to Ichiban. He never ate sushi ever. He tried the Moscone roll because he likes your show. He loved it. And now we go to Ichiban all the time. So I wish I could take credit for it. I didn't come up with that. That happened. You were here. You watched that happen.
Yes.
Tony Lightfoot is here, and he witnessed it. It happened. If you were watching Facebook Live, you would have seen it as well. Anyway, Ichiban, Essen near Perkins, they are Baton Rouge's best in sushi. I wish I could take credit for the role, but that was, I believe that was Ronnie who came up with that and put my name on it. It's been one of their top sellers. The fact is, if you want the most creative specialty rolls, the freshest fish, the best dining experience, there's one place to go. It's at Ichiban.
After further review with Matt Moscona, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge, 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Down the stretch we come, final segment here on a Football Friday edition of AFR. Joe Lisi was with us, wow, earlier this hour, and he just tweeted that he likes South Carolina outright at home to pull the upset on Tennessee. That would throw the East into, well, I'd say it would throw, I mean, that would clear the road for Florida. I mean, if Florida wins this weekend, I mean, that would basically hand Tennessee their third conference loss, and if in fact that happened, that would give Florida the wiggle room to lose in Baton Rouge and still win the SEC East. Wow. Joe Lisi calling for the upset there for South Carolina to get it done in Knoxville. I'm sorry, against Tennessee in Columbia. All right, we always wrap up with Best Person in Sports. How about Kyle Schwarber? He's a guy who's not going to play unless if he pinch hits this weekend while the World Series returns to Chicago. But Schwarber, we know by now in his story, went through a lot to get to this World Series. He's a 23-year-old. He's a Cubs slugger. He's an outfielder. Suffered a knee injury April 7th. It was expected to end his season, but he worked hard in rehab, spent two games in the Arizona Fall League, and then returned ahead of schedule to DH in games 1 of 2 and was 2 for 4 in the game 2 win on Wednesday. And he seemed wearing a green band on his wrist. And after the game, he explained, it's for Campbell Faulkner. He's a kid that he met in Arizona, has a rare genetic disease. Met him in his first spring training. Young kid, as Schwarber said, smart kid. And he just always got a big smile on his face. Draws your attention to him. He's living his life to the fullest, even though he's got something to overcome. We've grown a relationship over the last 2 years, and I actually got to see him when I was in Mesa playing in the Arizona Fall League. It was great to see him. We stay in contact through email. He's a smart kid, man. That kid's got an IQ of like a college kid for being so young. That tells you how smart he is and that he's a person you want to look up to right there. Campbell Faulkner suffers from mitochondrial disease. It severely complicates his youth. If you want to learn more about Campbell Faulkner and his fight, you can search for the Facebook page Campbell's Crew. Campbell, just like the soup, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. Campbell's Crew, and the operation sponsor responsible for the wristband that Kyle Schwarber is wearing. So good on you, Kyle Schwarber, for in a very public way shining some light on a young kid with some obstacles to overcome and really making his day, no doubt, by wearing that wristband in a World Series game where you went 2-for-4. Mm. Best person in sports, Kyle Schwarber. Coming down the home stretch here, I wish I could pick the New Orleans Saints against Seattle. I just don't trust the Saints defense to be able to do what the Cardinals and the Rams were able to do in road games in limiting Seattle to field goals. Seattle went to the Jets and scored 27. And if Seattle scores 27 in this game, I don't think the Saints offense is going to be able to overcome 30 in this game. So I'll take Seattle 27-23 to beat the New Orleans Saints in the Dome on Sunday.
Yeah, and they've got to limit their turnovers as well. Cause
you're over there pointing to me like you're going to throw in some gem of wisdom, and it's limit turnovers. My boy. Appreciate you for being here.
Boom.
Tony Lightfoot, James Harrelson back in studio. Appreciate you as well. Enjoy your football weekend. Thanks to the gang here at Pluckers for having us, as always. We'll be back on Monday at 3. We'll see you then.